So some of us are like two handfuls of confetti. And I'm not going to anybody that's representing these. I'm just traveling around the congregation. So sometimes we're like, hey, it's me, I'm here, and you should be all excited. And we just blare out everything that's going on. Okay, it's like throwing confetti all over people. Some of us are like shotguns. Boom! And I need to tell you this, and this happened, and that happened, and they said, and I said, and you said, and you're standing, and you feel like, wow. And then they go, oh, did that happen to fly a little off of you? A little off of you, you know, shotgun. And so with our communication, we have different effects on people by the type of communication we do. Some of us are like we've brought a lukewarm cup of coffee, and we're like, oh, let me just tell you about the terrible week I had. And so we all have different ways of communicating. But if you are working on communication, it looks a little different than that. So let's say I wanted to talk to Franklin. So I say, in fact, he told me when to talk to me today. So this is a good example. So let's say I want to talk to Franklin. Well, before I even open my mouth, okay, I'm already thinking, okay, what should I say and how should I say it that he's going to not only hear words, but that he's going to understand what I'm trying to say. You know, some of us just do what I was saying. We just throw something or explode something, and it's a bunch of words, and then we're like, well, why didn't you understand my intent? Why didn't you understand what I meant? So if I pause and I think, okay, so now what should I start with, and what don't I want to communicate? Sometimes that is just as important. Well, while I'm walking over to Franklin to talk to him, then he's thinking, wonder what Pastor Steve wants to talk to me about today. And if he says this or is talking about this, what should I say or what shouldn't I say? But if he's talking about that, then what do I want to say or not say? All of that happens and not one word has been even communicated yet. Right? Then the other thing is, you know, he's looking at me walking over here and he's like, so, is he smiling? Is he mad? Is he disappointed? You know, and so he's reading body language, facial expression. That is all involved with communication. And then really good communication is after I've thought about what I want to say and don't want to say. And so Marty and I are chatting. So we get together, I don't know, at least once a quarter. And she tells me what God's been doing in her life and happening in the prayer team. And I share what's going on. And by this end, we're all excited about what God is doing. But at some point, we check in. Like, okay, so now I've talked for 5 minutes. Did any of that make sense? Did you understand what I was saying? This is what I think you're saying? No, Pastor Steve, that's not exactly what I meant. This is what I meant. See, that's what communication is all about. You're checking in. You're reflecting back. And so I was thinking about what is it that God has been trying to communicate to us as individuals and as a church over this past 6 weeks? Are we hearing the message? Are we understanding the message? And are we taking action about the message? See, each person that preaches here, they pray and they say, we're talking about Pastor Kurt, Pastor Adam, myself, Steph and Van. And they say, God, what do you want to communicate through me? We don't pull out, I don't even pull out a book and open up and it says, this is what you should preach October 1st. Okay, some pastors do that. they have books that they pull out and whatever it says is what they do. Or if I hear a really good message, unless God specifically says, hey, you need to share that message with Christian Life, I don't. It's just for me. So we are all asking that question. So I want to review what we have heard the last 6 weeks. Okay? Because then I'm going to build on there, because I had heard a couple weeks ago my title, not knowing what some of these other people were going to speak about. So let's start with the last time that I spoke. And it's been a little while, not on purpose, but because people traded with each other and then they traded with me. And so that's just the way it worked out. But I talked about spiritual mothers and fathers. Do you remember that? And that they do three things: exhort, encourage, and implore. And the reason we have spiritual mothers and fathers to exhort, encourage, and implore us is so that they can raise up the next generation. And the goal with raising up the next generations, plural, is that they would go further than we go. And that as we're raising them up, we have to make room for them to serve and minister here. That was my message. Next was Van, and he talked about destiny. Not allowing the past, whether it was good, whether it was rough, whether we had certain expectations that were met or not met, keep you from stepping into God's plan for now and going forward. That was his message. Pastor Kurt had a two-Sunday topic. It was Action 1 and Action 2. He talked about we can't just hear instructions, we need to step out and obey those instructions. Not just hear instructions, but step out and obey instructions. Then the next week he talked about there are consequences if you don't obey and don't take action. Okay, remember that? Action, 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 action. And then Steph shared that God is the source of the courage we need, and that he actually commanded us to be courageous. See, I wasn't here, but I listen to messages when I'm not here. I was at the men's retreat. And her message encouraged and challenged me. And she referred to what God said to Joshua when they were getting ready to go into the promised land. Now, we use that just like we're saying they are getting ready to go into the United States. Okay? We don't think about the words. It's called United States because the states are united. It was called the promised land because it was the land that God promised. Right? So whenever God gives us a promise, there's some effort to get into and receive that promise. And God knew they were going to have to take some of that effort. Okay, so he says to Joshua, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land that I am giving them. No man will be able to stand against you. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And just to make sure that Joshua got it, he says it again. Only be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Now, when God says something to you three times, I would say you need to listen up. So God has been saying some things to us six times now. Six times. Yeah. Okay. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed when we're pursuing God and His promises. Sometimes There are things that cause us to tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord is your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare yourselves. So God told Joshua, Joshua told the officers told the people, we are moving forward. We are going into the promised land. The reason that he had to tell them to be courageous is because they had to defeat some enemies. Enemies are anything that keeps us from moving forward into God's plans and purposes for our lives. Are we getting God's message? He's trying to communicate. He's used 6 different methods because all of us speak differently. So 6 different messages through different vessels to tell us to move forward. Then last Sunday, Pastor Adam spoke to us and he said, don't allow trials or discouragements to keep you from continuing to press forward. Don't allow trials or discouragement, dark times, to keep you from moving forward. Usually the way I receive my sermons is I get the title first, and then it like brews in the crock pot for a week or two. And so the message that I got, the topic, the sentence, before Adam's message, keep going forward and not turning back. And next week I'm going to give us how-tos. I'm going to give us some keys to moving forward. But today I want to talk about the not turning back part. Not turning back part. Jesus had some pretty stern things to say about going forward and not turning back. And to help us understand it, I want to actually read this in 3 different translations. So you all thought I was checking text messages or reading Facebook. That wasn't what I was doing. All right, this is Luke 9. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, this isn't going to be easy. To another, he said, hey, Bob, you want to follow me? And that person said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus said, leave the dead to bury their dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said. Okay, so Stanley says to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say goodbye to those at home. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember my message? Move forward and don't look back. Okay. This one is really interesting in the message. So this one is easy. Kids, you can get this one. Yes, you can. See, I like you guys sitting right here. So on the road, someone asked, can I go along, Jesus? I'll go wherever you want. Jesus said, are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know. Jesus said to another, follow me. And he said, but first excuse me for a couple days. I have to make arrangements for a funeral. Jesus refused. First things first. Your business is life, not death. Life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. Then another said, I'm ready to follow you, master, but first excuse me so that I can get some things straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastinating. No backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Those of you in the military know, seize the day. All right. Last one, amplify. We did the amplified for a year and a half in the men's group, didn't we, Jack? We had that Bible, every comment we could make. We just wanted to get that. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another, follow me. Make me your master and teacher. But he said to him, Lord, allow me to go first and bury my father. And Jesus said, allow the spiritually dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and spread the good news about the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord. I want to be your disciple. But first let me say goodbye to those at home. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things he left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. So I want us to look a little bit this morning at the example of the Israelites. The Israelites were in Egypt, and God wanted to move them out of Egypt. He wanted to move them out of slavery. He wanted to take them from where they are and head them to the land that he promised, right? He wanted them to leave a place where they were slaves, a place of poverty, a place of restriction, into a place of freedom and abundance, where they would be able to represent his kingdom and what it looked like to all the nations around them. So what choices did they have? Same choices we have when God wants to move us forward. They could have stayed. Okay? In fact, some of them wanted to stay. They could have left Egypt, but never entered the promised land. They could have just left and lived somewhere outside the camp. So we want to look at that story a little bit. It's in Exodus chapter 12. But they actually did decide to obey. They actually decided to move forward. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. When we obey God and follow his instructions, we step into his favor and blessing. We step into his favor and blessing. They didn't steal the silver and gold and clothes from the Egyptians. They asked them for them. And because God's favor was on them, they said, sure, you can have my silver and gold and clothes. What? Would you like somebody in the world to say, sure, you can have this house. You can have this car. You can have this raise. You can have this bonus. You can have this new job. So then, they got free. They left Egypt. And let's see what happened next in 13. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was closer. Because God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Our tendency is, when things get difficult, we want to go back to when it wasn't. Even if that means we go back into slavery. We give up our freedom because maintaining the freedom is too difficult, so we're going to go back into slavery. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day, which led them, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. God's protection was upon them as long as they moved forward. His cloud kept them from the hot sun. In other words, they didn't get burnt up, burnt out. And then his light, his revelation, his understanding, his presence traveled with them. And that's another whole message. Because they didn't move when he didn't move, and they did move when he moved, and all of that. Okay, so now we've got them out of Egypt, and they're out heading toward the promised land. But when we move forward, we come to a junction. We come to crossroads. We come to places where we have to make decisions. And that decision is going to cost us something. Remember some of these previous messages that you heard? They came up to the Red Sea. God brings us to crossroads and places where we have to make decisions. Because, you know, slave masters don't want to let us, their servants go. The people in Egypt were like, what did we do? Now that we let them go, we have to get in the mud. We have to put the straw in. We have to make the bricks. We shouldn't have let them go. So they're out pursuing them. What slave masters might not want to let you go? Fear, anxiety, depression, passivity, failure, addictions, lust, religion, or pride. So God gives us choices to make as we're moving forward. And we all have the same choices. We all come to places of decision. Obey or not obey. Move forward or stay where we're at. Courage or fear. Comfort or an exciting adventure. So what is your Red Sea? They came to a Red Sea where they had to make a decision. We're not going back. We're going forward. Because you realize once they crossed the Red Sea, God miraculously made a way for them to go through the Red Sea. It now was going to be much more difficult for them to go back. And we come to those same crossroads where we have to decide that we're going to do something different. We're going to give something up. We're going to change some things if we're going to move forward. So there they are, and they were just thrilled that the leader had brought them out. Okay? You came and you set us free, and you got us out of Egypt. And then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you took us out of there to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Maybe because God told him to? Did we not even say to you in Egypt, let us alone. Let us keep serving the Egyptians. For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. See, even though they were slaves, they had houses, and they had a well, and they had food. They might not have had a lot of food, but you know, dead slaves aren't going to work for you. So they were given food and water, and they had a house. Now they're out here, no house, They're going to soon find out no food, no water, but God miraculously supplies. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear." Oh, we've heard that before. "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, what he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Okay. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me?'" In other words, while the people were talking to Moses, Moses was talking to God. He's saying, "God, you told me to do this. You said that I was to be the person to bring them out. Now you hear what they're saying." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward." The directions haven't changed. My plans haven't changed. I told you to move them forward, so move them forward. Who do leaders have to answer to? The same person you do. We each are responsible to God for obeying and doing our part and then trusting God to do his part. Sometimes I think we get confused because we think we're supposed to do our part and God's part. Nope. We just do our part and then trust God to do his part. But sometimes we want God to do our part. And he's waiting for us to do the part he told us to do. We do our part and then we trust God to do his part. So you know the story, right? Moses raised his rod. The Dead Sea parted, they got over the other side, and then they celebrated. We also need to celebrate every victory and every step forward. Just like they did, celebrate every victory and every step forward. However, this was not the last time that they wanted to go back. Every time they faced a trial or a difficulty, they said, "Maybe we should have stayed in Egypt." There was no water. They said, "Maybe we need to go back where we had water." What did God do? He miraculously supplied water. There was none, none that they could drink. One time it was bitter, and God made it that they could drink. Then there was no food. Now remember, we're responsible for our part, being obedient. God's responsible for his part. Could Moses have caused manna to fall from heaven every day? Thank you. That is exactly the answer. It wouldn't have mattered how much Moses tried or how much Moses wanted to give them manna every day. How much he didn't want to hear. "If you wouldn't have brought us out here, we wouldn't be hungry." But he had to trust God to bring manna day after day after day after month after week. Folks, 40 years. 40 years. I mean, I don't know how many ways you can look in your cookbook and come up with manna recipe. So, we do our part, we have to trust God to do his part. Even when we are dry and thirsty, we have the same choices. Look back, want to go back, or keep moving forward. When we're hungry, look back, go back, trust God as we move forward. Even when we're afraid, remember, he said, if they find enemies and know that they have to do some fighting, they would have turned back. Nobody enjoys fighting enemies. Who wants to volunteer? Okay, any of you that were in the military, you did that. thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your service. But most of us in our civilian life and in our Christian life, yeah, I want to battle depression. Yeah, I want to battle fear. Yeah, I want to battle religion. Yeah, sign me up. Where can I volunteer? Even though they were afraid. Go back, look back, go forward. Even when you're tired. Now think about this. 800,000 people in a desert. Walking, 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 round the mountain, 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 round the mountain. Yeah. Even though you're tired, are you going to look back, want to go back, or continue to go forward? So we all have the same options to make, but there are, remember, there are costs, consequences, but there's also benefits. So one of the things we can do when God is encouraging us to move forward, okay, to not stay where we are, is we can quit and we can have ourselves a little sit down. A sit in. Remember those from the 70s? Everybody came and you just sat somewhere. I will not be moved. I have sat on this blue chair for 20 years. And I am not exaggerating. This chair and I have become friends. I've sat here and laughed when the children were up doing their programs, back when my children were up doing their programs, and Stephanie was putting her arm down her sleeve. I don't even know how she did it. And they were picking noses. And some of your kids were doing other things, and they were waving, and they were not singing a word, and they were looking all around, and I was laughing and having a wonderful time. I've sat here and cried. We're not going to talk about those times, because then you'll see me do it again. There have been times that I have been on this blue chair on my knees, praying. There's been times where God's presence has overwhelmed me in this blue chair. I love this blue chair. I don't care that we have new, softer, more comfortable, burgundy chairs. This is what I am comfortable with, and you are not getting this chair away from me. So that is the decision, one of the decisions we all have to make. So now I do have to decide if I want to put it back over there or if I'm actually going to, all right, I guess I'll get rid of my. This is painful. This is a buddy of mine for 20 years. Oh, all right. Here he goes with the stack of 20 we have left in there. So we all have that. That's one of the choices. I will not be moved. I am comfortable. I am used to this. I don't care that God wants to move us forward. I will not be moved. Okay, there are consequences, cost, and benefit. What if we said, God, I want to go where you want to take me, regardless of what that looks like? What might the benefits be? See, we can talk about the consequences of not going forward. We can talk about the consequences of constantly looking back and wanting to go back. But how about the benefits if we actually go forward? You know the end of the story, right? They went into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. They did get there. But one whole generation died out because they refused to believe God. They would not believe that God was bigger than their trials and difficulties. And because they wouldn't believe that, they were not able to get to what God had promised, the promised land. So there are things that God has promised us as individuals, us as families, and us as a church. And we all have those choices. Am I as an individual going to go after what God has promised, what His destiny is for me, where He wants me to go? Am I going to be courageous and not fear because He promised to be with me? Am I going to move forward and obey Him, doing my part, and then expecting Him to do His part? And we have the same choices as a church. Are we going to move forward, even though we might get to a place where there's no water? I'm pretty thirsty. God can bring water out of a rock. I mean, if He was going to bring water out of something, why wasn't it a watermelon? Or something, you know, a rock? Really? You know, it doesn't matter how hard you squeeze a rock, you're not going to get water out of it. God does. Or God's solution to being hungry. You know, I would have liked a couple turkeys to come walking into camp. But something coming down like snow and it's edible? Really? Would you have thought of that solution? I wouldn't have thought of that solution. God is able to make a way when there seems to be no way. When you're facing a rock, a hard place, God, there is no way for me to get provision out of that rock. God can make a way. When you look around you and you see no cattle, no sheep, no chickens, no turkey, no pigs, nothing. Not even a what? Well, I don't think you'd get very full eating a butterfly. But you would see no animals that you can eat. Not even any eggs, Don. Yeah, no eggs. And you would say, God, You are able. I am not going to turn back to Egypt and let that person and that situation feed me, because that's not where You want me to go. Even though I'm hungry, thirsty, hot, dry, crabby, and miserable, I am going to choose in this place, in the desert, to keep going where You're calling me to go. Wow, that's easy. That just sounds yay, right? That's why He said, be courageous. Fear not, I am with you. So, next week, same time, same channel, we're going to talk about how we can do that. Now that the challenge is out to do that, not look back, not want to go back, not complain about what was back there, but go forward, I'll give you some steps. Didn't I leave you at a great place so that you'll all want to come back next week? I should do that more often. You know, it was just like the Batman show. You know, he's just about ready to be chopped into 12 pieces. And as a little kid, you think, he really is. Mommy, is he going to make it till next week? But if you come back, same time, same channel, you get to find out whether he does or the series is over or not. So next week, we're going to learn some keys to moving forward. You all want to do that? Yeah, I don't know what they are yet, so I'm sort of anxious to find out what all of them are. So you be praying for me this week. I have some ideas. Amen. Let's stand up. It is. I have to get us out of this predicament somehow. All right. Well, God, You are the God of the impossible. You are the God that fed 1 million people in a desert. Really? and their clothes did not wear out for 40 years. They did not run out of food or water for 40 years. Wow. Wow. I'm not responsible for 1 million people. I'm responsible for myself. I'm responsible to obey you myself. I'm responsible to believe you to part the sea, to strike the rock, to release manna. I can't do your part, but you're looking at me and saying, hey, are you going to do your part? Are you going to walk up to the Red Sea and then be willing to lay something down and not take it through the sea to the other side? Are you willing to do that, Stephen? Are you willing to believe me to make a way when there seems to be no way? Are you going to move forward without looking back? Okay, God, I need your help. We need your help. We need you to remind us, just like you did Joshua, the reason you don't have to fear is, I am with you and I will never leave you. Thank you for that reminder. Whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever situation that we're dealing with, you are with us and you are more than able. You are greater than, and the name of Jesus is higher than, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with you. We believe you, God. We choose to believe you, God, that you are able. Amen. Have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday.